on the love of God for God's people. But this is no typical book and no typical love story that is within this book. You see, in this story, God commands that a prophet, Hosea, marry a prostitute and have children with her. Now, the first three chapters of this book describe the relationship between Hosea and his wife. Some people call it Gomer, but it's Gomer, which is a parable of the relationship between the Lord and Israel. It is a long and rocky relationship with anger, bitterness, and self-destruction. It is a miracle that the relationship endures, but relationships do endure. And this is the story of a love that will not let go of us. You see, in the 11th chapter, the perspective shifts slightly from husband and wife to more of a parent-child relationship. Israel was adopted out of Egypt to be the Lord's child, Ephraim. Ephraim was his name. We might think that Israel would display gratitude for this act of rescue and salvation, but oh no. Israel calls upon other gods, bows down to idols, gives credit to someone else. You see, in the parable, God is somewhat bewildered. Who taught Ephraim to walk, he says in verses 1 through 4. God says, I did, he said. I took them in my arms. I healed them. I was compassionate. I bent down to them and I fed them. None of those others did that. It was me. You can hear the resentment and the hurt, can't you, in the Lord's voice? Ephraim represents the entire northern kingdom of Israel, God's own people. They are determined to run away from me, God says. They are backsliders. They've gone to that far country, Assyria. They have returned to Egypt where they were slaves. They would rather be slaves. Can you imagine such a thing? Can't you just hear it in God's voice? God as the parent here. If we listen closely, something just a little deeper, He says, why would they do that to me? Why would they do this to me? If you were this parent, what would you do? You see, the story of Hosea is a parable of God's relationship with God's people and therefore with us, because we are God's people. Here are the words from the mouth of this bewildered parent. Oh, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I call you Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? You see, Admah and Zeboim were cities that shared the same fate as Sodom and Gomorrah. So he didn't want to give them away. He didn't want to throw them out. Notice, though, what happened. The child turns away from the parent, but the parent turns towards the child. God turns toward us. Many times I think about children who get all beside themselves and get angry and upset and they run off. Or they get mad and run away, or they leave for a while. The parent doesn't turn away. The parent is always looking, always searching, always seeking. Whether it be in their heart, in their soul, or physically, they're always looking for that child to come back. It says, my heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger, God says. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Keep this parable in mind as you consider a simple idea that we find in the New Testament. Jesus is mixing with the people, oh, all kinds of people, and the scribes and Pharisees are murmuring. And in Luke 15:2, they says, He welcomes sinners and He eats with them. You see, these two passages of Scripture lead us into the very heart of God, into the very nature of salvation and the experience of grace. God's compassion grows as that of a loving parent. Jesus welcomes sinners. The sign of God's compassion is that the relationship endures. The sign of Jesus' reception of sinners is that He eats with them. The sign of the relationship is the meal, a sacrament. A sacrament is defined in the early church is an outward and a visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. How do we know that we are in a relationship? We come to this meal. We eat together, and it is grace. This day we will come to the table. We will eat together, and it is a part of God's grace. You see, Jesus' life and ministry was a gift of grace. We see this throughout the Gospels. Jesus takes the loaves and the fish and he feeds the multitudes. He tells a story about a dinner party and those who respond to the invitation and those who do not. In his life and relationship, Jesus was always reaching out to someone else. He was reaching out to others to bring them in. At times, some complained about it. Of course, there was always somebody complaining. Imagine that. If you're ever doing something good and trying, I mean, you can do the best you can. Somebody's always got a problem with it. But you know what? You have to overlook that. You have to move past that, and you have to look to see what God is calling you to do and wanting you to do. You see, the cultural idea was that the righteous associated with the righteous. The clean ate with those who were clean and did not associate with those who were unclean. That was just the laws of the land of that time. But a physician goes to the sick, Jesus reminded them. A physician goes to the sick to go to be healed. The Son of Man, he said, came to seek and save those who are lost. You see, the core question today is simple. How can a holy God be in a relationship with an unholy people? How can a holy God be in a relationship with an unholy people? How can Jesus eat with sinners? You see, from a human point of view, it makes no sense. But from a human point of view, there can be no relationship. But the prophet reminds us that God is God and not human. God promises not to destroy God's people in anger. Hosea 11:9 says he's not going to do that again. He says, I will not destroy you. Holiness does not destroy sin. Through compassion, though, it saves. Holiness does not destroy sin, but through compassion it saves. Perfection does not destroy imperfection, but through love it heals. I think God must wonder sometimes, how do I get this message across to my people that I love them, that I want this relationship to endure, that I am the one who gave them life, not those other gods, that I want the very best for them. How do you get that across? You know, we are like a bunch of children who have gone astray. The Lord is always asking us, He's always telling us, He's always trying to figure out how does He get the message to His people. How will they listen when they stop and pay attention? How are they going to do this when all of a sudden I do all these wonderful things to them and guess what? They give other people the credit. They give other gods the credit. They give other people and ideas and situations the credit. And I don't get any. And God's answer comes to us through the life of Jesus. We will sit down together, He says, at a meal. My Son Jesus will preside over that meal. Jesus will not eat just with the worthy people, but He will eat with the unworthy. Not only with the righteous, but also with sinners. Not only with the faithful, but with the unfaithful. Not only with the older brother, who has done everything right, but with the prodigal son who has done everything wrong. You see, God seems to be saying, in the words of one of the faithful servants of God, Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, and he would come along much later in life, but he wrote a hymn called Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast. Let every soul be Jesus' guest. You need not one be left behind, for God hath bid all mankind. Come sinners to the gospel feast. Sinners, that's all of us. On this World Communion Sunday, we gather with all of God's people, sinners, all of us, at this gospel feast. I invite you this morning to think about that we all are Jesus' guests at His table. He's prepared a banquet before us each and every day. He comes and He says, "Come, take, eat." Let us pray. Lord, I do thank You this day for who You are in our lives. I thank You, Lord, for each and every one. I ask, Lord, now that as we prepare our hearts and our minds to come to the table, that we just listen, Lord, for Your calling. We listen to the little ones that are amongst us, those that are in our midst, those, Lord, that have no cares, that have no worries, those, Lord, that have that freedom. Lord, let it be us, the ones that teach. Let us be the ones who inspire. Let us be the ones who call them out and say, "Come, come to the table. Come." Because we're all sinners. We all come. We all come so very unworthy, but yet He lets us come. We all come wounded, broken, and spilled out each and every day. But as we come to the table this day, let us open up our hearts and our minds and receive Him. For it is in His name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 529. How firm a foundation. The altar is always open. How firm a foundation. Come as you will.